UN General Assembly Committee approves Russia's resolution to combat the glorification of Nazism. So this passed today, Doc.
Yes. So the third committee of the UN General Assembly adopted the Russian draft resolution on combating the glorification of Nazism, which 51 countries actually voted against.
51 countries.
Right.
Said, we want to glorify Nazism. Just let that sink in. And the United States was one of them.
Right. So 106 countries voted for the document entitled Combating the Glorification of Nazism, Neo-Nazism, and Other Practices that Contribute to the Escalation of Modern Forms of Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Related Intolerance. And the vote, 106 countries voted, 15 abstained, 51 countries voted against. This is actually the, I believe, the third or fourth time that the Russians have brought this before the UN General Assembly.
And each time the United States votes against it.
Right.
And I have a feeling the other 50 nations most likely will be mostly EU nations.
Right.
And I wonder where Israel's at in this. Did Israel vote against the resolution to stop glorifying Nazism? I tried to find a list. I couldn't find the vote tally. Maybe by Monday we'll have it. Vladimir Putin said Russia's clash with the regime in Ukraine was inevitable. It was going to happen.
So Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Russia's clash with the regime that emerged in Ukraine was inevitable, and if Russia had not launched this special military operation, then everything would have gone according to the worst-case scenario for it. Russia's clash with this neo-Nazi regime that emerged in Ukraine was inevitable. If we had not taken the appropriate action in February, everything would have been the same, only from a worse position for us. And Mr. Putin was saying this at a meeting on the occasion of the decade reconstruction of Russian historical and Russian military historical societies. He stressed that Russia launched a special military operation in Ukraine in order not to repeat the mistakes of 1941, when, despite intelligence data about the inevitability of an attack by Nazi Germany on the USSR, the country's leadership did not take the necessary measures for defense. Rick, any comments on that?
No, but I want you to see the next one. He mentions another date.
Okay.
Let's go to, let's go down to, let's see, number 54.
Okay. So he drew an analogy with 1917. When foreign powers warmed their hands on the tragedy of our people, they did not care about both the whites and the reds. They pursued their interests, weakened and tore historical Russia to pieces.
What's he talking about, Doc?
He's talking about the Bolshevik Revolution, Rick.
The Jewish Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, he said foreign powers, meaning the United States and Western Europe, did not care about the Russian people.
They didn't care about the white Russians. They didn't care about the red Russians. All they cared about.
He's not talking about skin color. Whites
right.
and reds were factions,
Fact.
Okay? But he said they, basically, they manipulated. That's what he's really saying. They manipulated both sides. Who was involved in it? Rothschilds?
Yes.
The Rockefellers? The New York Federal Reserve Bank, not the Federal Reserve, the national, but the New York Federal Reserve, which is really the most powerful part of the Federal Reserve. The New York Federal Reserve sent money to Trotsky.
And for the purpose of buying weapons,
yes.
For the purpose of creating a force within Russia
mm-hmm.
to bring down the government.
Yes.
Same thing happening in Ukraine.
Putin and Medvedev know their history.
Yes.
They know who ripped Russia apart in 1917 and plunged them into communism.
Right, and they make that direct correlation in the next quote here. And today, constantly supplying weapons to Ukraine, transferring mercenaries there, they are absolutely ruthless towards its citizens. At their expense, they are promoting their geopolitical goals, which have nothing to do with the interests of the Ukrainian people. So just like in the Bolshevik Revolution, it didn't matter what happened to the Russians. It doesn't matter what happens to Ukrainians. I find it interesting he uses these two dates, and it goes back to 1941 as well. We missed our opportunity to take out the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
We missed it. because our leadership was not ready to make that decision at that time. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make the same mistake again.
Right.
We're taking the Nazis out.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows how many Russians died because of the Nazis. General Shoigu of Russia weighs in on NATO's military buildup in Europe and the main goal of the West. I'm going to dispense with this one. There's a lot in it. I recommend that you just go to the TASS.com website, read the story. He talks about the buildup of NATO troops on the Russian border, and he's bracing for an invasion. That's literally what the article is about. They know that NATO is going to invade Russia. Number 63, this is Times of Israel. Russia said to threaten retaliation if Israel supplies military defense aid to Ukraine.
They didn't specify what that would be, but Russia has warned Israel that it will retaliate if Jerusalem sends defensive weapons to Ukraine. Now, citing two unnamed sources familiar with Russian policy, Bloomberg reported that Russia would respond if Israel passed along air defense systems directly or through a third party to Ukraine. The report did not specify what action Moscow might take.
Doc, do you remember a week or two ago when a leading Russian official made some very strikingly bold statements that implied that global Jewry was the driving force in the war in Ukraine?
Right.
And a day or two later, his supervisor apologized.
Yes.
Oh, they called Habalupovich a cult.
Right, satanic cult.
A satanic cult. And a day or two later, his supervisor
walked it back.
I think the reason for it is that Putin told them, look, I don't want to go to war against all the Jews in the world. Right now, the Jews are pretending to be neutral. I don't want to put them in a position where they're openly in war with Russia. And I think that's what I think that's why they walked it back. But here, what you have now is Russia telling Israel, if you get involved in this war, there's going to be payback.
Right.
Things are not going to stay the same between Russia and Israel. There's been this not a friendly relationship.
Yeah, an easy
understanding.
Yes, that's probably the best way to put it.
Russia has allowed Israel to bomb Syria any day that they want to, and the Russians haven't done anything about it. If Israel gets involved in Ukraine, then Russia, I think, will shoot down Israeli warplanes over Syria. I think that's what's going to happen.
Right.
By the way, Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, yesterday was in Amman, Jordan.
Oh, really?
And met personally with King Abdullah. That's very interesting. Are we going to see Jordan move away from its alliance with the United States? Is King Abdullah, is he detecting a change in the winds in the Middle East? Saudi Arabia is going to Russia. Other nations are starting to swing over. Is he having, just chats with the Russians? Well, what do you have for us? How would you work with us? Maybe. I don't know what the conversation was about, but I found it interesting that Sergei Lavrov flew to Amman, Jordan, to meet with the king.
It, within days of us going there. So,
yeah. So, a couple more stories. Yonhap News in Korea. South Korea scrambles some 80 fighter jets. Listen, after 180
yes.
North Korean warplane activities detected. Doc, this is 24 years of doing True News. I have never reported that North Korea sent 180 warplanes towards South Korea.
Right, Rick. So South Korea scrambled dozens of stealth fighter jets and other warplanes Friday after detecting more than 180 North Korean military aircraft activities in various locations via radar, Seoul's defense authority said. The North's planes, including fighters and bombers, were spotted flying between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. over its inland areas as well as off the western and eastern coast without approaching close to the inter-Korean border. That's according to the GCS. The bombers conducted air-to-ground firing. In response, the South Air Force mobilized some 80 fighter jets, including F-35As, in line with full response posture, is trying to confirm the exact number of North Korean aircraft mobilized. And as you said, Rick, this is one of those stories that has a lot more meat to it than you really realize.
What's your thoughts? 180 warplanes.
Well, I think that Kim Jong-un is responding because the South Koreans and the U.S. announced yesterday that they were extending the drills. They were supposed to mm-hmm. end Saturday, but they've extended it out by 2 weeks. And so Kim Jong-un has had to show some kind of response. He's chosen okay. this. I think they didn't shoot any more missiles because they had the missile tests planned, mm-hmm. and they couldn't do missiles on the fly. So they're showing strength by flying the mm-hmm. planes, you know, mm-hmm. in Korea. That, just my observation.
But that's a lot of warplanes.
Right.
I mean, two or three is a normal. 180, that's like you're planning a bombing campaign over Seoul. There's still a lot of speculation that Kim Jong-un is going to test a nuclear warhead very soon.
Right.
Maybe before the election, possibly this weekend. Although I haven't seen any reports that a rocket has been prepared or anything. But there is South Korean newspapers every week, have articles about the South Korean and U.S. officials are bracing for a test of a nuclear warhead from North Korea, and the question is, how's the U.S. going to respond to it? We're getting closer and closer to the end of the year, and Doc, these things, just the pressure level is getting higher and higher, and we need God. Thank God the Russian Christians are praying. At least somebody's praying. I don't think they're praying for war. I think they're praying that there's not a war. Have you thought about that?
Yes.
The Christians in Russia are praying. They know that their future is at stake. Their survival is at stake. The Russian Christians are praying. And they're not praying, Lord, let's have a big war. They're praying, oh God, prevent a war.
Right.
So let's join in prayer with the Russian Christians that neither side starts a war with each other.
Wouldn't that be a good thing?
That's what the church ought to be doing. The church, the body of Christ, worldwide. We ought to be praying in one accord as brothers and sisters that there not be a war that brings destruction on the earth. Chinese Defense Ministry announces war preparations. Folks, I don't make this stuff up. You just
read it.
I read it and I go, dear Lord, where are we in time? I've never seen stuff like this in all the years I've done True News. I've never seen it like this, Doc. I don't know how people can be so
casual
about it. What does that say to you?
That we're headed for a big war. The People's Liberation Army of China continues to prepare for war and strongly opposes any form of separatism in Taiwan. And that's from Tan Kefei, spokesman for the Chinese Ministry of Defense. This is an internal affair of the People's Republic of China, which does not tolerate any external interference. At present, the United States constantly emasculates the principle of one China and crosses all boundaries in its efforts to use Taiwan to control China. All this grossly violates the sovereignty and territorial integrity of China and also seriously threatens peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. He said this and was commenting on the report by the U.S. National Defense Strategy, which contains negative references to China. They have a picture of the spokesperson for the Chinese Ministry of Defense, Tan Kefei. Rick, once again, it sounds like we're constantly looking for opportunities to escalate situations. Now, the latest one is the opportunity for an escalation with China.
Right. So. And Radio Free Asia reported today, Taiwan must be ready for Chinese invasion at any time.
Yes. China's invasion of Taiwan is only a matter of time. A former Taiwanese army chief has warned, as the island's defense minister vowed that the armed forces will fight to the end against the Chinese troops. The question is not whether China will attack Taiwan, but when, said Huo Shuye, formerly Taiwan's chief of general staff and currently serving as a strategic advisor to the office of the president and chairman of a defense ministry think tank. Taiwan must be ready for a conflict at any time, he told an audience at the annual Taipei Security Dialogue. That's hosted by the think tank, the Institute for National Defense and Security Research. The four-star general added that Taiwan has been on alert for 70 years, but since China's paramount leader Xi Jinping came to power, Beijing's pressure on the island has intensified. Meanwhile, Taiwan's Minister of National Defense, Chiu Kyu-chin, told lawmakers in Taipei that the island absolutely has a chance of winning a war against China, but will be an act of national defense and not provocative. As long as the enemy can't land troops or plant its flags on top of the buildings of Taiwan's central government ministries, it has not won. Rick, I don't want to see Taiwan destroyed or run over or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is, you know, China has an army of several dozen million men. More than the population of Taiwan.
Yes, and in this article they talk about their ability to generate a militia force of 200,000 men within 24 hours.
Okay.
But China can send...
millions.
A million soldiers into Taiwan. You know, can they hold off China? Not very long. Would the United States intervene? Not under Joe Biden. He's owned by China, just like Fauci's rear end. Okay, owned by China. Biden's not going to intervene. They can pretend. It's all posturing. It's pretend. When China goes against Taiwan, Biden will not do anything. He belongs to China. If you're thinking that Biden's going to go to war with China, then everything you're saying about Biden and Hunter, Joe and Hunter Biden, everything you've been saying isn't true. Right. Either China owns them or they don't. China owns them. And Biden is not going to defend Taiwan. He's going to pretend, but he's not going to do anything. He's just not going to do it. And I don't know what's going to happen to the Taiwanese people. Ask the people in Hong Kong what it's like. Joe Biden has promised he's going to do a regime change in Iran very soon. Of course, the White House is already walking that back. Netanyahu is back in power in Israel. He hasn't been sworn in yet. But he promised the homosexuals of Israel, don't worry, everything's cool. I'm okay with homosexuality in the Holy Land.
Okay. Jensen Franklin, what do you have to say about that?
Nothing. American evangelicals, well, they'll say nothing. Okay. They won't say a word about it because they haven't said a word about it
till
in the
now.
Past 10 years.
Right.
They're not going to say anything. I'll say it again. If you're going to live in the Holy Land, you got to live holy in the land. And the Israelis do not live holy in the land. That's all I'm going to say. It's a fake It's a fake Israel. If they were the real Israel, they would serve God.
Right. Think about
it. Just think it through. If they were the real Israel, they would obey God. The fact that they don't obey God is proof that they are fake. God did not raise up that state called the State of Israel. Satan raised it up. If God raised up the modern state of Israel, it would be a holy land. And they wouldn't be persecuting the Palestinians because God would condemn them for doing it.
They certainly wouldn't be having gay pride parades.
They wouldn't have gay pride parades. Oh, one more story before we go home for the weekend. There was an assassination attempt in Pakistan a day or two ago. Imran Khan, who was the prime minister, I lose track of some foreign leaders. He served as a leader of Pakistan for a brief time a year or two ago. Anyhow, there was an attempted assassination on him. And today, this is the London Times saying that the gun attack was carried out by Pakistan's Secret Service.
Yes.
So it was an inside job. By the way, his wife is, I want to say, somehow she's related to the Rothschilds.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not heard that before.
Yes. I don't remember her name. It has been a couple years since I've followed that story, but there's a Rothschild connection. So to the Muslims who watch us, so you have to fill me in on it. I don't recall all the details about it, but yeah, there's a Rothschild connection there.